Today's reading is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 30, to chapter 12, verse 3. It can be found on page 1144 on the Pew Bibles. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, or Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained that what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning, they were sawed in two, they were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all condemned for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him enjoys the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Well, good morning. Are you nice and warm? Happy? Joyful? Now, I want to tell you today that this is a public service that I'm performing for you, because when you look at me, you might think, oh, look at that lovely summery shirt and those nice short sleeves, and you'll think it's absolutely toasty warm. Let's stand up together. Come on, let's stand up. Give yourselves a little bit of a shake, a bit of a warm up. Come on, let's be practical. We don't leave common sense at the door. Give someone a hug. Give them some warmth. That's it. Oh, come on. There we go. Can't you just feel that? Okay, sit down now. That's enough. Well, you might have noticed that, as Dave said earlier, it's Mother's Day today, Mothering Sunday. And also earlier in the week, we had the International Day for Women. Did you celebrate that? I'm sure you probably did. When I was thinking about my own heroes of faith, I didn't actually have to try really hard to put women in there, because actually women, there's two particular women who are right at the top of my list of heroes of faith. And here comes the first one. Catherine and William Booth, you can't really separate them because they were like two peas in a pod. William Booth was really just the mouthpiece. He was just the puppet. The real brains and the real passion and the real vigor and the real thinking stuff was all Catherine Booth, in terms of their founding of the Salvation Army and that founding of the mission that spread all around the world. I mean, back in the 1870-somethings, Catherine Booth was writing pamphlets that were changing the world in terms of preaching women. Isn't that fantastic? She was there. She was a great preacher. She was a great biblical scholar. By the time she was 14, 15, she had read the Bible through several times. And in fact, if you read all the love letters, well, I say love letters, nagging letters that were shared between her and William Booth in the early parts of his ministry. She was the one that was always telling him, cheer up, William, cheer up, read your Bible, make sure to pray, don't be so disappointed, make sure to carry out your call in the gospel. She was a fantastic woman. She was the one that was the real passion behind the movement, but she was feisty. She was feisty. We have any feisty women here this morning? Yeah, feisty. And not just feisty for the sake of it, but feisty for the gospel and passion for the kingdom. Catherine Booth, you should read about her. She was fantastic. Here's another one. I think the experience of reading Jackie Pullinger's story of faith fundamentally shook my own understanding of what it was all about. You probably know something of the story. As a very young woman, she felt that call to be a missionary, to go somewhere for Jesus, but no mission agency would take her anywhere. So she decided that she was going to sell all that she had and buy a one-way ticket to China. She got on the boat and she ended up in Hong Kong. With no real support around her, she went to the toughest place because she figured that's probably where Jesus would be. And she carried out a ministry amongst prostitutes, amongst drug addicts, gang members, triad members, and she poured out her life with very little resource other than the kingdom of God that was within her. To me, she is a hero of faith. I've had opportunity to hear her preach a couple of times, and let me tell you, she doesn't mess about at all. She says it like it is. She's the kind of person that you wouldn't actually willingly invite to come and stand in this pulpit because she would terrify you, because she has an understanding of what it means to follow Jesus and follow him into the hard place. I don't really know where the men are on my heroes of faith list. We've been looking in this series about all these people who are built up as heroes of faith, a series of people who are something to aspire to, something about their life and faith should impart some truth and knowledge and understanding to us and inspire us for our path. And the question I have right now, right here, is honestly, has it made any difference at all? Has it made any difference at all? Not because the preaching has been good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, has looking at these people caused us to really consider what it means to live a life of faith? Am I in the place where, after this series of looking at these faithful people, I'm stoked up and ready for the battle, whatever it means to follow Jesus in this particular time? I don't know. I think there's still more for me. I think there's still more for you to gain. And there's a huge climax to these verses that we are looking at today. In those verses that were read for us, we have this picture of a life of faith. And there's almost like two sides of a coin presented to us. The first side of the coin is that our life of faith can be sustained by joy and triumph. Look at those examples that were given in the passage there. The amazing case of the walls of Jericho. Remember the story from Sunday school? Anyone not go to Sunday school like me who has no idea what happens in the Old Testament? Yeah, absolutely. There's an amazing story of those walls in the Old Testament. They come tumbling back. Imagine it. The Israelites are getting in position to bring down these walls of this city. They might have their swords and their clubs and maybe their ladders and their instruments of, you know, torture, whatever it was they were going to do to bring these walls down. And God says, hang on a minute, this is a job for the worship band. It's fantastic. You know, they were ready with all the things that they thought were the things that were going to do the job. But God says, hang on a minute, we're going to get the band in on this one. This is how it is going to go. This is going to be the thing that will test your faith and your understanding of what it means to follow a God of victory. And they did the marching and the blowing of the trumpets and the shouting, and it was fantastic. And we're told the walls came down and the city was theirs. You know something? Even our best achievements are not about us. If Jericho shows us anything, it's that it's not really about us. It's what God does through our obedience and faith to him. He is the one who does it. And then we have amazing stories of triumph, like from people like David and Samuel, mighty Gideon with his tiny army going out into battle, seeing justice and victories aplenty, escaping death, winning battles. When we have those things in our lives which are inspiring and which build us up, which move us forward, those things are, they can feed us for ages, don't they? They feed us for ages. Can you think of those stories from your own life, from your own experience? Think of those stories that when you're given the opportunity, you sit down and bore people with. Yeah? You know those stories? Those ones that you always tell? Oh, I remember that particular time when we were in that particular place and something really amazing happened. And it was 40 years ago, but it feels like yesterday, because the victories of faith inspire us and move us and keep us in the fight. What are the stories you tell about church? I've heard lots of your stories about church. Don't we love to tell the stories of the, oh, remember when so-and-so was, you know, when that was there and we did this and then all this happened. And, do you remember that? Do you remember it? Yeah, do you remember that time? Yeah, Don, do you remember it? Wasn't it good? It was brilliant, wasn't it? If we could go back to it, it'd be absolutely fantastic. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Those times that we look back to and we say, that was an absolute pinnacle, an absolute time when we knew 100% that God was there, that God was with us, and it was the victories of faith. Times when God has blown you out of the water, aren't they amazing times? These stories sustain us. They're signs of God working in us. Times when our trust in him makes complete sense. And the writer to the Hebrews, in moving towards this great crescendo, this great achievement of faith, says, look at all these times when the people of God were victorious, when I, the Lord your God, came through and showed you what was happening. On the one side of the coin, we are sustained in our joy, in our triumphs, in our glory stories. But then there's another hand, isn't there? There is the other side of the coin. There were those other people, those unnamed other people in this story, the multitude of nameless ones who were stoned, who were jeered at, who were imprisoned and chained and flogged and put to death, being sewn in half, wandering half naked, destitute, persecuted, hunted, mistreated. And we're complaining about the heating. Well, you're not. You've been very good, actually. Well done. But people of faith and life who experienced what it was to truly put their life on the front line when it comes to having faith in Jesus Christ. And you know, as well as I know, that all around the world today, there are people who are being sorely treated because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Only the other day, I was scrolling through Facebook, as one does, and I came across the Facebook page of Open Doors, who are an advocate for people who are a part of the church in persecuted lands. And just one story caught my eye. And it was a story of a young man who, when he was 11 years old, witnessed the very first killing of a Christian person in North Korea. And the reason for the death of this person was that he happened to have a Bible hidden in his loft. And this is within our lifetime. And these are the stories that are happening all the way around the world. And so you have to say, well, is faith somehow failing them? Is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and everyone else somehow not to be seen? When you're going through it, when they're at your door because you dare to believe in the name of Jesus? Does it not work? Does God somehow disappear? We read about these people that, in spite of these hardships, in spite of these troubles and persecutions and running for fear of their lives, they possessed a faith that was the bedrock of their existence. These were people who, like the ones who had all the victories, didn't get to see the full fruition of all that God had planned, because the best was yet to come. You see, in this life, friends, you will experience the joys, won't you? You know that. God has been good. You'll experience the joys and the victories. And some of you also know that you'll experience the sufferings and the pain. But you know what? This life of faith isn't about either of those, actually. It's not about whether our life is full of joy and happiness and victory, or whether our life is full of suffering and woe. Our life of faith is about looking somewhere else, not being so preoccupied with our own circumstance and our own way, our own experience in life, but having the faith to look somewhere else. The writer to the Hebrews said, isn't it amazing that all these people managed to have faith, even although they didn't see Jesus of Nazareth? For all the faith, the bravery, the trust, the faithfulness, the perseverance, the hope, the actions, the suffering of all these people in this hall of faith, there is still something else, someone else to look at. It's easy for our stories to stop us. It's easy for our experience to hold us in the here and now. It's easy to rest on our good old days. Oh, wasn't it great? Oh, wasn't it wonderful? And then still fail to look towards a greater day, a greater hope. Or it's easy to look at life and say, well, it's all been a little bit of a disappointment, really, hasn't it? So unsettled, so unsure, so I'm sure it'll never amount to much. Surely it won't go anywhere. And it's easy there to be stopped in our own experience and go no further. So whether you're doing good, anyone doing good? No, you're all doing terrible. Well, whether you're doing good or whether you're doing terrible, we're invited not to stop right here. Because whether in victory or in defeat, that isn't the place where we belong. That's not the place where we are invited to look. We are invited to look to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. The blatant point of this whole chapter seems to be, you see all these guys? You see all these guys who believed in God for this and that and the next thing? All brilliant. But you know what? They are not the point. Let me show you the new vision that I want to hold out to you today. And if you've read Hebrews from the very beginning all the way up to chapter 11, you know exactly who it is that the author is talking about, because he builds Jesus up in tremendous ways. But this vision is Jesus Christ himself, who he was, what he said, how he lived, what he taught, his character, his accomplishments, his attitude, his mind, his heart, his divinity, his humanity, his holiness, his servanthood, his leadership, his majesty, his grace, his saving work, his sheer beauty. Look at him. Look at him. Because in looking at him, everything else in your life and experience takes on a new understanding, takes on a new shade, takes on a new vision. When we look at him, transformation comes, because we're not worried about whether we're in joy or suffering. We're not worried about whether we're happy or whether we're sad. We're looking to Jesus as the one who can transform every single part of it. All the preoccupations in our lives, what does it say in those first few verses of chapter 12 of Hebrews? Throw off the sin that easily entangles. All our addictions, our sins, our chains, our ropes, our fears, our limitations that press us down, our failures, our sheer desperation, fall off like autumn leaves in comparison to Jesus Christ, in comparison to the sheer magnificence of his glory. And if you've suffered with any of those things, and haven't we all suffered with the chains of sin, you'll know that what I'm talking about is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing just to throw off the things that battle us and get us down and tie us to the same old patterns again and again. If you've experienced addiction to anything, you will know the grip that it can have around your neck. We're not talking about something that is easy here, but we are talking about something that is possible because God is God and Jesus Christ is his Son. The heroes of faith, brilliant stories. The victories, the defeats, the multitudes of faithful followers, the martyrs, these all form a crowd cheering you. Cheering you in the same journey of faith. Imagine it. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the rest, everyone who's ever experienced the love of Christ in history in some mystical heavenly way, all those people in this life of faith and church, whether dead or alive, are around us and they are cheering and they are urging us on. Come on, Dave. Come on, Ray. Come on, Don. Come on, Ian. You can do it. We can. Through seeing this image of the risen Christ, have experience of transformation in our own lives. We can move beyond the here and now and the everyday of our normal situations, no matter what they are, and by faith see a breakthrough. Anyone skint? You know? Anyone a bit sick? Anyone not got enough time to do all the stuff you want to do? Anyone just wishing for something different? You know, it's not about that. Ultimately, when we find that Jesus Christ fills the whole of our life and the whole of our vision, we find perspective. Yes, I'm skint, but I've got Jesus. He's got the resource of all heaven. And you know, every morning, when I wake up and move into my day, Jesus Christ shows me the riches of his grace. Every morning when I wake up and think, oh, Jesus Christ is there, and he says, come on, what are we going to do today? How are we going to work together today in this kingdom thing? What are we going to achieve? What are we going to not achieve? How are we going to celebrate life together? Whose pain are we going to enter into today? And how is that going to be transformed because I am here and with you? We're invited in this hall of faith to turn towards Jesus. It's a simple message at the very heart of the gospel. Let's turn and look at him with all of our good experiences and our bad experiences and allow ourselves to be changed and transformed. Allow all the things that hold us back to be stripped away as we submit ourselves to his surgeon's knife, as he gets out the chainsaw of his power and breaks open those chains of the things that bind us. And our next step can be freer than our last one. Do you believe that? Our next step can be freer than our last one. And the next one freer than that. He transforms it all. I simply want to ask you this morning, do you believe it? Do you believe it? And then I want to encourage you, believe it. He is the one who is faithful. He is the one who has called you and he will do it. Am I willing to throw off anything that can hinder my pursuit of him, my life of faith, and my dedication to his cause? In good or in bad, am I straining towards him, refusing to settle for this, whatever your this is, in order to gain him? It's true in our own lives, and it's true in our lives as a faith community, in this time, in this place, in this season. Will we look to him?